This is serious. Needs to be in Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today in Isaiah chapter 55, titled Invitation by God. So stay tuned to our program, and if you have a Bible, get it ready so that you can jump in and study the Word of God with us. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for a chance to dive back in Isaiah to understand you, your word, your purposes, Lord, and your great love for us. Thank you for all who've tuned in. Lord, you know each and every one of them have something on their heart that they need to just hold up to you, Lord, and give it over to you. And we pray that we'll do that today. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Big Batista Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of invitation by God as we look at Isaiah chapter 55. Before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful program in Isaiah 55.
Yeah, and I thank you for promoting me from guest to co-host. I'm working my way up the ladder there, it seems.
It's been only, what, 16 years now?
Excuse well, me. People, yes, yeah. So last week, I'm only kidding, Vic. Last week, he accidentally called me guest.
So. People know us by now, Nathan, that from time to time, we'll have our bloopers in our program.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Well, folks, you know, if you know the history of The Truth Will Set You Free, it actually started as, right, Vic, called Eyes on the Word. It was started by Vic and his radio station down in Florida. And over the years, he changed it to The Truth Will Set You Free. And then he donated it to the ministry. So now we the podcast is part of the Lamb and Lion Ministries, and we're both evangelists with Lamb and Lion Ministries. So even though the name or even where it was located has changed over time, The Truth Will Set You Free still is dedicated to preaching God's prophetic word verse by verse throughout the Bible.
Nathan, and it's been a fun journey that we've had in these many years, teaching through so many books of the Bible, a lot of wonderful histories and opportunities that we've had there with the ministry. And it's just great partnership and friendships that we have, and just getting the gospel out, right, Nate? Doesn't matter the name of the program. The main thing is the word of God and prophecy that's being fulfilled right before our eyes, getting to the hearts of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what Vic and I and all of us here at Lamb and Lion Ministries set out to do. Our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of sad, Vic. I was invited to speak at a prayer breakfast for a county out in Washington State, and they had some pretty amazing speakers in the past. I mean, football players and different Christian celebrities. And I was really surprised they asked me, but I just wanted to make sure first. So I had said to them, I said, well, the mission of Lamb and Lion Ministries is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. And we do that from a premillennial, pre-tribulation interpretation. If you're good with that, then I'll come to speak. A few days passed, and then they wrote me back and said, no, sorry, I'm glad you told us about that. We're rescinding our invitation. And isn't that sad that here we have the hope of Jesus Christ returning to set up his kingdom, and his children are be able to inherit all the promises that he's made for us. And most Christians yawn and they're not interested in hearing about it. They'd rather hear some celebrity's testimony or, you know, what did Joel Osteen's famous for, your best life now, and not the fact that the Bible teaches our best life lies ahead. So for you all who've tuned in, we appreciate you. We appreciate your shared passion for God's prophetic word.
Yes, Nathan, and I'm glad that you share that. We're so thankful also for those organizations that are not ashamed of the gospel and that they will still allow us to pray in Jesus' name. And there's many that don't even want you to mention Jesus' name, Nate, like you're saying, but they're okay with having celebrities and others, stars that really don't bring much to the spiritual hearts of the people, if you will.
No, I remember visiting a church once, and they brought some athlete. Olympic athlete, a runner, and the pastor clearly didn't vet her before she came in, and she's talking about, you know, motivating herself with music and exercise and all this, and he kept pressing her to share her testimony, and it became pretty clear that she had no testimony. She wasn't a believer in Christ, But he was so, he got
Oh.
for a week, you know, he's like, oh, we're getting this famous person in and all. And she had nothing to share about Jesus. And you could tell the pastor was just at a loss. He didn't know what to do. He should have done his homework first, obviously. All this to
Yeah.
say, you know, is that we need to find people that if they're going to share their testimony, it's a testimony based on what the God has done for them, not what we can do for ourselves.
Well said, Nate. Wow. And that's I know that we are just sharing here before our
Let's do the
program,
talk.
but this is also important, Nathan, because our nation is turning a blind eye to the power of the gospel, and they're not giving people an opportunity to receive all that God has for them. So I'm part of a few organizations that I volunteer, and I'm glad that they allowed me to be a Christian non-denomination chaplain with the police department. And when I pray, they allow me to pray in Jesus' name. And through that, Nathan, it's gotten the opportunity to be able to pray with people because suddenly there's a hope there that they can connect with. So when people are not given those opportunities, really is a disservice to the community, you know?
Yeah, and again, this is all to talk about the fact that we're going to get into chapter 55 here in Isaiah, which is an invitation to abundant life. And that's what people are giving up. They're giving up the chance. You know, this life here and now has its blessings, certainly, but it's nothing compared to the life that God has in store for us in the future. I mean, it doesn't even compare. And so, I mean, I look at 1 Peter 2:9, for instance. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to who? God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." And I love 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." So yes, absolutely, there is abundant life now, but it is nothing compared to the life that the Lord has in store for those who put their faith and trust in him.
That is awesome. Thank Nate. What a great opening way for us to start Isaiah 55 for this amazing invitation by God. So, Nate, will you be able to take us there through verses 1 and 3? And I'll do 4 through 6 in Isaiah 55 in case someone doesn't have a Bible. We're reading from the New King James Version.
Okay, chapter 55, verse 1. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David."
Oh, verse 4. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call on the nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon while he is near. What amazing passages, Nate.
Oh, you know, it re kind of reminded me when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he was talking about living water, and she was kind of confused. She thought, well, she's talking about regular water. And he says, no, this is water that you'll never, after drinking it, you'll never thirst. And she's like, really? Again, she's only thinking the physical. What we're talking about here is the spiritual, folk, spiritual food, which is that relationship with Jesus Christ, that perfect relationship. In other words, we spend so much time as humans spending money, a time and attention on things that only satisfy temporarily. But the things of God, the food of God, you could say, is eternal.
Oh, Nathan, you know, we spend so much money on purified water, right? Spring water. We call it spring water.
Filled with plastics, yes.
Phil, exactly. And we pay so much money for water, and here the spiritual things, right? The water that really satisfies. It's God says, man, it's free. And like you said, Nate, also Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take of the waters of life freely. Isn't that cool, Nate, that the things of the Lord are free?
That's beautiful. Yeah. And it's free only because God paid the ultimate price for it by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and then beat death by resurrecting from the dead. And anything that's free tends to be worthless, right? You know, they say it's not, nothing's free. Well, this is because the Lord has already paid the ultimate price for it, and he gives it out abundantly to us. This spiritual food that will satisfy not just in this life, but eternally. And he offers that to us free. And Vic, it's so sad to see that so few people are willing to accept this because it means they have to give up the things, the lusts, and the things that are killing them. So we'd rather choose the fleeting things as humans than the eternal things which God offers.
Oh, Nathan, how sad that is. And you're absolutely right, because according to the word of God, what God gives freely to us, it cost something to him. It was expensive for God, in a sense. According to Isaiah 53, Nate, what you and I did a few programs back, speaking of the humanity and the man of the Messiah, Jesus, not the nation of Israel, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressors. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. So what he offers to us for free, Nathan, he paid the price, a heavy price at the cross.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And that's the real point of it, is that this what he's offering isn't free, it's precious. I mean, it's beyond what we humans could possibly ever give. You could give every penny you've ever made and it will count as nothing. The only ultimate thing that we can give is our lives, and that's exactly what God did. But he did more than that. He gave up the throne of the universe temporarily. He became a helpless baby who had to be raised by human parents. He didn't have any money. He roamed around the wilderness with his apostles, following and depending on the charity of people. And even when he was dying on the cross, he had nothing. The Roman soldiers had gambled his clothes away. And when they buried his body, he didn't own a tomb. He had to be put in a free tomb, so to speak, that was donated by Joseph of Arimathea. And so here we've got again and again, the Lord gave it all up, and he did so. And the worst of it is that he took all the filthy sin of humanity upon himself on that cross. So it wasn't just physical suffering, but it was spiritual and emotional suffering as well. So the Lord made the ultimate price so that this spiritual food could be free to his children, those who put their faith in him.
Excellent point. And again, for those of you that maybe just tuned in, you tuned in to a Truth to Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're in Isaiah chapter 55, again, with this message, Invitation by God. And Nathan, I love free, the way that God puts it, the real things that matter that he gives to us that we could not even put a price on it. Nate, when was the last time that you went to Costco or Walmart and filled your basket with everything you wanted and just walked out with the security guards without going after you,
Yeah.
right?
The food costs so
And
much now,
here.
you almost think you need a loan or sell a kidney to pay for it. But here we're talking about eternal life. You can't, there's no price on eternal life that we could ever pay. Only God could pay that. And then since he did, he could offer it to us free if we surrender our lives to him. And that's what I love, verse 3, the sure mercies of David. I love that. The
Yes.
sure mercy. You could depend on him. It's God's mercy to us. He could have all sent us to hell. I mean, it was in his prerogative, but instead he made the way, the only way that we could come to salvation, and that's through his son Jesus Christ. And then we inherit, as verse 3 says as well, an everlasting covenant. What is everlasting? It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. In other words, it never ends. So you never have to worry about, once you receive eternal life, of losing that eternal life.
Oh, that is a very good point, Nate. And I also love the word there, delight is up in abundance. That's another beautiful word. This abundance, everything that God has for us, he does it in abundance. He doesn't cheat us. He's not cheap. He says, take, eat, enjoy. And isn't that the truth, Nathan? Have you ever done a Bible study where it's so rich that you just can't have enough of it? And I'm sure that happens to you because you've written some wonderful books, pretty lengthy books. And I can see that it's the richness of God flowing through you, wanting to let people know the love of God And that's poured out. And that's that abundance, right, Nate? That when you and I dive into the Word of God, there's so much there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you too, you've written books, you've probably taught in thousands of sermons over the years and radio programs. And, we're students. People say that we're teachers, but we're students because the learning never ends. And brother, I think we're going to be in heaven one day. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus and all these famous people like Isaiah. We're going to meet Isaiah one day, but that will pale compared to meeting the Lord. And he's going to teach us. And we're going to learn and learn and learn forever and ever. Since God is omniscient, he knows everything, there's to be a no end to us learning and growing and becoming more Christ-like. And the Lord paid for that. Those are these spiritual foods, these eternal foods that he's talking about here in the first few verses.
And Nathan, also, I love verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. What a wonderful verse. Seek the Lord. There's many people out there, Nathan, that they don't recognize that there's not a lot of time. God has an open door blessing for them right now, but that is whoever wants to take advantage of that. Some people mock the things of God. They make fun of the things of God or the Bible or programs like we're doing. They think it's a waste of time. But you and I know the urgency that without the Lord, people are destined to that awful place called hell. And again, hell was not intended for humanity. It was for Satan and his demons. But we make that choice to go to hell when we reject Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
That's excellent because you bring up a very key point here is that when can the Lord be found? Only in this life. If you die in your sins, you'll be sentenced to Hades or torments, as the Bible calls it, a holding place of the damned. And there you'll wait till you're resurrected after the millennial kingdom to stand before God's great white throne, be judged for your works and found your works wanting because you're missing the only work that matters, the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you and all the other who rejected God will be sentenced to the lake of fire, the eternal punishment. And so this life is the only life that we are given to make this decision. Everything in life boils down to choose Jesus or reject Jesus. And your eternal destiny depends on that decision. So, yes, great point, Vic. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because if you're dead and in your unrighteousness, you won't find the Lord there.
An excellent point. And Nate, the next verse there clearly shares the opposite of that. Will you be able to read for us 7 through 10, Nathan, and I'll read 11 through 13?
Okay, picking up verse 7. Let it, excuse me, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
And verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things of which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be let out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns shall come up cypress trees, and instead of briars shall come up myrtle trees. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a great passage, right, Nate?
Oh man, there's some really quotable passages here, especially verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And then he makes this comparison: for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Man, that's mind-blowing when you think about it. Because as humans, we try to take God, we bring him out of heaven, we put him down, we make him equal to a man, we put him in a box, we limited his powers, we assume the way we think is the way God thinks, that our desires have got to be his desires, and they're not. This verse makes it very clear that God is an omniscient, eternal, all-powerful being. And it reminds me of that old classic Star Trek episode. Remember when they run into, I think they're called the Organians, and they're creatures of light. And Mr. Spock says that we are like the amoeba compared to them. And it's true, compared to God, we are like the amoeba. Our ways are like the amoeba's ways, and our thoughts are limited like a one-celled organism. And yet God still reaches down to us, his creation, made in his image, and showers his love on us and gives us that spiritual food, that future with him. And so we've got to be careful. I think, Vic, that everybody is always guilty of idolatry because we never truly see or understand God as he truly is. We recreate him so we can fathom him in our own limited way. Wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely, Nathan. And that's why it says, my ways are not your ways. It always amazes me how good God is, even when we don't deserve it, Nathan, because we have our little plans, our way of thinking, the way that we think we should be. We make little gods out of certain things, out of ourselves. And you're absolutely right, Nate. And when we see God at work, it's just mind-blowing how he always works things so much differently for those that believe and trust in him, that he always has so much better in mind for us than what we are trying to do for ourselves. And this is why, Nate, according to what we're reading here in Isaiah, it's just a wonderful blessing for us. The rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So my word that goes out of my mouth shall not return to me void. You and I have been sharing this word, Nathan, on this program for over 16 years. And from time to time, we wonder, hey, is anybody listening out there? Is this taking root or anything? And then we look at this promise. The word of God does not return void. It's touching the hearts of someone even right now as we speak, Nate.
Yeah, and for those of you who are wondering how many might tune into this program, thanks to Spotify and others, we know thousands of people tune in each week to not only this podcast, but our Christ and Prophecy radio program, which is also on these platforms, and our TV show as well in audio format. So we know you're out there. So Vic and I aren't saying nobody's listening, but we thank you that you keep coming back, because we hope that this is spiritually feeding you, that spiritual food which is promised here, that our words aren't going forth into nothingness, into the void, but they're connecting with people, and our purpose is to connect you to God so you grow in that relationship and go out and share the gospel with others. But I love verse 11 particularly, Vic, and it says here that God's word will not come back void. In other words, if he's going to say something, it's going to happen. And if he's going to do something, it's going to be done. And he's going to get the exact results that he wants. Nothing surprises the Lord. I mean, that's absolute, isn't it? I mean, that's why we can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he has that kind of power that everything always works his way.
Oh, Nathan, and I tell you, not many things can offer that promise these days. People can hope or wish, but the word of God is reliable and it always accomplishes what it was set forth to do. And I just think it's fantastic. And Nathan, the next verses just remind me of the children's song about the trees in the field, and they clap their hands. But isn't that just beautiful? You shall go out with joy and be let out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Again, Nathan, pointing us also towards the beautiful time of the millennium, where everything will just be at peace and flourishing, and God's blessing will be all over it.
Absolutely. Have you ever heard the Jews for Jesus? I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a group called the Liberating Wailing Wall. It was a traveling musical ensemble. They go to churches and other events, and they'd sing messianic Jewish songs. But one of the ones that always stuck in my head ever since I first heard them, wow, way back in the early 90s, is this song. And you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And it go like that.
Yes.
Have you ever heard them before?
Yes. That's what
Yeah.
came to my mind as well. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, they did it so well. And that every time now when I come to Isaiah 55 here, verse 12, that song just sticks in my head. And so, but they sing it with such joy, and and Messianic Jewish songs are filled with dancing as well. They don't just stand there like, we Gentiles do. And there's just such praising, and it's a small picture, a glimpse of what, like you said, when Christ sets up his kingdom on this earth, his earthly reign, we're going to see that kind of joy just expressed. And maybe my old Southern Baptist way, I'll finally be able to clap my hands and get them up a little higher than my shoulders, and maybe dance around a little bit. I don't know. Our founder, Dr. David Reagan, he, even his 80s, I could see him across the church still dancing away over there in his chair, and it's just beautiful to see. That's the kind of joy that God's children have.
Oh, Nathan, that is so awesome. And what a beautiful passage, Nathan. What I find about this passage that is fascinating, it opens up the first six verses, wonderful things, verses 8 through 13, wonderful things. But then it leaves verse 7 right in the middle with an admonition. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Can you imagine that, Nathan? The Bible here talks about abundantly pardon. There's people out there right now that say, well, God could never forgive me. Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know how I've spoken and blasphemed God? How can God possibly forgive me, Nathan? And yet, look at verse 7, how powerful that is.
Yeah, I had a professor back in my Bible college years who used to call that a chiastic structure. In other words, the prophets were famous for giving. You could draw an X, and what is crossed in the middle is actually the point of what the prophet was trying to make. And so you're right, Vic. Verse 7 is the middle of that chiastic structure. It's yeah, there's all this abundance, but in the middle, it's okay. You want that abundance? Then here's what you need to do. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, as Vic just read, and have mercy on him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. That's it. If you want to inherit all the blessings of eternal life, if you want God's wrath to be taken off you, if you want eternal life and not eternal death and hell, then that's the formula right there. That's the salvation message right there in verse 7.
And Nathan, and people, again, they get the wrong picture of God. They think God is just this angry God. But here, the word abundantly pardons. In other words, no, God loves you. He has a special plan for your life. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die at the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And maybe you blaspheme God, maybe you turn your back on God at one point or other. But here, God extends a hand to you and says, I'm willing to forgive you if you repent and you turn around and come to me. And Nathan, that's why we love to close our programs with an invitation, because God is a loving God and he pardons all who confess their sins to him. So, Nate, again, for that individual that is out there, what word of encouragement can we leave them with saying, hey, God does love you and he wants you to come to him?
Well, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death. In other words, we were born in death because we are sinners, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift freely given, though paid for by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, Jesus died for us. He died for you. That, therefore, as Romans 8 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. And let's just, I'm going down the Romans road here, as it's called, but Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you will receive salvation.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. And maybe you need a little help in starting with that prayer. Well, you can pray a simple prayer with us. And if you mean it, this prayer from your heart, God will change your life. Wherever you are, you can call on the Lord. Whether you're listening to this program now, live on social media, or in the future, God is there with you. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. And God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you pray that prayer for the first time, let us know. Call or text 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And we would love to be able to rejoice with you. Congratulations and welcome to the kingdom of God. And of course, Nate, what a blessing it is to be able to go through the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Again, we ran out of time for this segment of the program, but Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, saying goodbye, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.